Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair. If you enjoy binge-watching the best TV shows and love hearing from the actors and showrunners who make them happen, then subscribe to Vanity Fair. Our Hollywood reporters take you behind the scenes of the year's most anticipated projects, the industry's biggest moves, and the hardest-fought awards races. From The Crown to The Real Housewives, we've got the inside scoop. As a special thank you to our still-watching audience, we're offering 15% off a yearly digital subscription to Vanity Fair. Visit vanityfair.com today and use promo code POD15. That's vanityfair.com, promo code POD15, for 15% off a yearly digital subscription to everything you want.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, I'm fucking furious.
Hello and welcome to Still Watching, a weekly television podcast from Vanity Fair. I'm Richard Lawson.
And I'm Chris Murphy.
I'm Hilary Busis. We have reached the conclusion of season two of the Max series and Just Like That.
Okay, can everyone please take their seats? Dinner is served.
Here's a quick recap of episode 11 entitled The Last Supper Part 2 Entree. It's the day of Carrie's big dinner party, and we get our much-hyped Samantha cameo.
All right, you're on speaker.
Thank you for everything. You fucking fabulous, fabulous flunked.
Charlotte emerges from her hangover to declare she can have it all, but Harry has to help.
And now I am asking, expecting you to help me with part of it, not all of it, because I love my work. And I'm good at it.
Miranda decides to make friends with her exes, starting with Steve, and then moves on to Che.
We were a train wreck.
Okay. But like a good train wreck, right?
And love is all around as Seema and Ravi say I love you. Sparks fly with Naya and the hot chef. And Anthony gives up his ass virginity.
I won't let you fuck me, so you're leaving the country.
This is about more than your ass.
There's a setback for Carrie and Aiden as their relationship is put on hold.
It's only 5 years. Remember on Valentine's Day when I said 10 years went by like...
But don't worry, Carrie now has a cat to self-narrate to.
Oh, it's past your bedtime, so I gotta put my baby to bed. Say goodnight, baby. Say goodnight.
So we're obviously going to get into a full in-depth analysis of this episode, but we should talk up front. This is not the end of it, just like that. We have been talking now for, I think I started it.
You did.
For episodes now being like, if the season finale or series finale, and now we know it's not. There is going to be a season
three. You remind me of like a mom like talking to like her son being like, if you meet a nice girl or a guy.
right. Like whatever. Yeah.
Whatever might happen.
But I was wrong because it got renewed and like, I feel like, wasn't there some report that it's actually very well, like highly watched?
Max's number one original series.
According to Max.
According to Max, which we have to trust Max.
We don't really know what that means because what are Max's other original series? But like, I mean, Love Life, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to get more. And I think that what was ingenious about this episode, because they didn't know when they made the show necessarily that they were getting it renewed, it wasn't like they had the automatic pickup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think this episode was both a appropriate season finale and potentially an appropriate series finale.
Yeah, I had already written my eulogy for And Just Like That. prepared to deliver it today.
Reports of its death, greatly exaggerated.
Greatly exaggerated. But I totally agree that you could see how every storyline was tied up in a way that could have been emotionally satisfying if we had to say goodbye to all the characters. But we're going to keep chugging along.
Yeah.
And I wonder what is in store. You know, is Charlotte going to buy another iPhone in season 4? Or season 3?
God,
the possibilities are endless.
No, she switches to Android. That's the big twist.
Oh,
that's our season arc.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Miranda's like, Charlotte, why are your text messages green?
Yeah. That's a whole episode. Giuseppe gets involved somehow.
Down to the final and just like that, I ordered two more Cosmopolitans. Like, that really felt like a button.
Wait, yeah. Let's get Taylor Swiftie here. Does that mean there are two more seasons? Is the show speaking to us in code? Are the Cosmos seasons of TV? But I thought, you know, I had this sort of fantasy. Once it was announced that there was going to be season three, that the end of the episode would be door opens, there's Samantha. I move back. That didn't happen.
No,
but we did have a Samantha cameo. I have to hear from both of you. Was it satisfying?
I'm really upset that it was a cold open. Yeah. Really mad that within the first 3 seconds of the episode
started. Oh, really?
Because
I was like, I mean, they knew what we were there for. Like, it felt front-loaded on purpose.
Yeah, I think...
Was it less satisfying?
It was less satisfying. I would have rather her call in the last 10 minutes of the episode. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to delay the gratification.
Like Jager Hoover at the end of...
Oppenheimer.
I Love Lucy movie. Yeah.
Exactly.
Of the Lucy is a Communist movie that, you know, that frequent reference.
Totally. Yeah. I've absolutely
pop culture
that
giant.
Up. Yeah. It was so great to see Kim, and it was so great to see Samantha Jones, but it wasn't enough for me.
Well, to be fair, that is how they ended season one, with a text from Samantha. Maybe it just felt like too close of a retread to do the exact same, like wait until the last minute kind of thing.
And her being like, I was going to come, but I'm not. I'm like, okay. you just didn't come then. Like,
yeah, because I was only going to come for that. I mean, I will say.
And at least she said that over the phone rather than Aiden, who got on a plane from Virginia to say to Carrie, we're breaking up, and then got back on the plane.
Romantically threw pebbles at her window. Oh. But we'll get to that. But I thought, because I've been watching Kim Cattrall on her show Glamorous.
I've heard good things about.
It's cute. I mean, it's pretty lightweight, but it's fun.
Not unlike just like that.
Well, I mean, come on. This
the
is the drama
stuff.
Of our times. And she's doing not a Samantha character. She's kind of playing a nice Miranda Priestley on it. Anyway, so I'd kind of been like, Kim Cattrall is just Kim Cattrall. But the minute she shows up in this episode as Samantha in that voice, I was like, oh, no, this is a character.
Yeah.
And one who I had really missed. And that energy just completes the circle of the show, even for that couple minutes that she's on screen.
It felt so right. I'm with you 100%. Mm. Like, I was, oh my God, I was like a little gerbil in the cage, just like sipping at the like delicious drink that they were giving us. I'm sorry, that's quite a visual. But yeah, like, you're right. I mean, yeah, I've seen Kim Cattrall since Sex and the City in several things. I don't know if anybody else here has watched How I Met Your Father, which is a similarly lightweight, like, disposable, like, kind of fun, like, very, you know, cheesy old sitcom-y kind of show. But yeah, you really, it feels silly to say this about an actor, but, like, you really see how, like, how Samantha is this fully formed person and has a voice and has even like mannerisms, like in even just like the way she was sitting in the car felt like going home.
Mm-hmm. And the way she held her phone. And the thing that actually gets to
her little like look after she said ta.
Yeah, so funny. And it's like
the little kiss.
It's so good because Kim Cattrall always was like, I'm playing a character. I am not Samantha Jones.
Yes.
And I think it's so easy.
I don't think I believed her.
No, I did not believe. It's very easy to not believe her. And with like Sarah Jessica Parker and even now Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Davis, the line between character and actress has gotten pretty blurred. But with Kim Cattrall, it is so clear that Samantha Jones is a fully formed creation from a wonderful actress, and we missed her and we needed her, and we got an Annabelle Braunstein
reference. Yeah, we got her saying honey, and we got a reference to one of my
favorite episodes.
Yeah,
sneaking into Soho House.
I was raised in Incha.
Yeah. I love the way that
and it feels like a slightly deeper cut, too, for them to call back to, which was a nice treat.
The true heads, I love the way she talks to Carrie. It's a different tone than Miranda uses or Charlotte uses, which is, you know, how friends interact. But, like, it's not maternal. It's maybe older, cool cousin. Like, there's a vibe of sort of, like, we're really good friends, but also I'm a little bit wiser or something, you know, a little steadier. And I think that the show, as much as they've added new characters who are maybe sort of in composite, supposed to kind of provide that Seema does a little bit of it there, Che does it here, you know, whatever. I think getting the actual real deal, even for a couple seconds on a phone call, was like, yeah, this is the little the missing ingredient. And I would hope we'd get more. I don't think we will.
Yeah. And it was worth every penny.
But here's the thing, like, I mean, Kim Cattrall has said, like, the head of HBO called her up and was like, what can we do? Like,
yeah.
if they back up a truck in front of...
A lorry.
In front of her flat.
That, right.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, just millions of pounds just to get her back in the fold? I feel like that's kind of... Because I would hope that maybe tempers have cooled a bit since then. Like, she has certainly seen how badly she's missed and how how beloved she is by the cast. Or maybe not by the cast, but by the fans of the show, by those who are still watching it. I don't know. I would not lose out on all hope that we'll get any kind of, maybe it's too much to hope for, a scene where she actually shares air with somebody else in the cast. But another phone call doesn't seem too, it seems like it was probably a pretty light lift. I don't know. She had to call Patricia Field, I guess.
Yeah. And she looked great even from the top up because that's all we saw.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a shame we didn't get a full
body look.
A full look.
I would have loved that. But it feels like, I agree, it would be nice if season three we had another, maybe even two Samantha cameos.
I mean, that would
They could do the Juliana Margulies Archie Punjabi thing. You
that's
know,
what
make
I wanted
it look
to happen.
Like they're in the same room and they're not.
Yeah, or just give her a storyline in London and whatever.
Yeah. So that promises potentially more to come. But I think the beginning of this episode, at least as it concerns Miranda, was sort of a closing of a chapter. I thought the scene with her and Steve on Coney Island was really lovely and well written.
Yeah, I got
Like and the music was really nice.
A little misty. Like we were. Yeah. A really good idea for a long time. Like, damn, Steve.
Yeah. Like, and that was great writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so nice to not discount their entire relationship as it has felt like has happened this whole entire season, where it's like, no, Miranda and Steve were a real thing. They were really in love. People change, people grow, but that doesn't mean that their relationship wasn't important.
Yeah. It's not like it was a lie the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that something that fans of the show in season one, and then I think whatever, how much fan chatter there was in season two, like, were like, wait, how could this character who had this great love, then that was sort of her big arc on the whole original show, how could she just kind of abandon that? And then maybe they were listening to that, or maybe this was the plan all along, but to kind of bring that full circle and have it be an issue that Miranda is kind of a, like, out of sight, out of mind person because she wants to protect herself, and to address that and to have this moment of reconciliation with Steve and perhaps fans of the show who were like, how can she just drop Steve like that? To make that work in text, like in the context of the show, while also being a little bit meta about it, I thought was very clever.
Mm-hmm. And I also, I it felt intentional too. Season one made Steve so pathetic in so many ways. Like, he was hard of hearing and he was just like doddering around and he just couldn't do anything right. But like this season, we see him shirtless boxing. We see him like easily speaking fluent Spanish to a man
that.
Who doesn't speak Spanish. But whatever.
details.
Yeah, we see Miranda telling him like, you were really smart, actually. A lot of the choices that you made, like you were really smart for us to buy that house in Brooklyn Heights in the year 2001 or whenever they got it.
I appreciated him saying we could not afford that. Now. Yes. I was like, oh, finally, a little bit of reality.
A tiny
bit.
Taste.
Just
like
a grain
there was maybe,
of reality.
Maybe one character that can't fly in and out on a last minute ticket with like a 2-hour turnaround.
Yeah.
But yeah, it felt like giving him his due. You know, when you have a relationship that long, especially when you have a kid together, even if the kid has grown up, like they're not going to be strangers for the rest of their lives. Like it's and I would hope that also means he will pop into the show every now and then, even, you know, with this chapter closed. But yeah, it was good to get some closure. It was also good to see him, I don't know, have like a moment of, I mean, not that he needs to be redeemed, but like that the show had kind of done him dirty and it was nice to see him.
Some respect for Steve.
Respect, exactly.
Respect for a man in the Sex and the City universe.
And for a good,
everybody wants.
A good performance. And I like that they had a little button of Brady, you know, showing up to work at his dad's clam shack and seeing his parents together and kind of knowing that they're getting back together. It was more just like, okay, we're some kind of version of this little triad that we're in is going to continue in an amicable way.
Yes, and that's all we needed from any kid this episode.
Right.
And that's all that we got from any kid this episode.
And I think shifting over, like, in terms of, like, couples or ex-couples reconciling or finding a new understanding, I also thought that the Charlotte Harry scene was really good, where I thought it was going to be like, oh, I had too much to drink. What have I been doing? I've been so outside myself. Instead, she was like, yeah, I'm not going to do the blackout drinking thing anymore, but things have changed. You have to accept it. And, you know, kind of a righteous rah-rah, like you are all doing the bare minimum. This is what women are asked to do all the time. I don't know. Did that ring well for you guys too?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of the same note that the other episode, the last episode, ended on, and sort of a continuation of that theme.
But felt within Harry's character, whereas, like, I don't know, he had some of the stuff that he was doing and saying earlier this season felt a little weird, like not really something that somebody with his personality would do. But, like, him listening to Charlotte at this moment and just being like, all right, and then kind of, like, moving on, that felt on point.
Yeah, and them being more of a team did feel nice. I will say, it's just so crazy how this show is constructed, because Carrie gets broken up with Miranda. She's on the BBC, and Charlotte buys an iPhone. That's the only thing she did. This I can't get over how, you know, the trials and tribulations they're putting these other characters through, and Charlotte's just bopping along.
Well, I guess her arc kind of came to its
natural
its head,
conclusion.
Yeah. Last episode, like, this was the falling action.
But if you think
trying to, I like Charlotte getting, like, the comic side plots. Maybe, you know, it'd be nice to see her have a little bit more to chew on.
We can only hope for season three. But then it's, you don't want to ruin her gorgeous family and her relationship with Harry. So I understand how it's harder to give her something.
Yeah. Oh, maybe she'll
to do.
She'll sell a painting that turns out was forged or something. Like, I don't know. There could be, like, some kind of art world
drama. She gets
drama.
Into wire
Victor
fraud.
Garber goes to jail.
Yeah.
But if you
the Goldfinch, starring Charlotte.
I would love that.
If you think about it, this episode ended. Charlotte's a gallery girl. Miranda's a high-powered lawyer. Harry's sipping cocktails and is kind of single. Like, they brought us back to season one of Sex and the City. Kind of.
Not, can never go back
Man
to
on
before.
The street interviews are coming.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. Oh, damn it. What's Skipper?
Skipper.
Yeah, yeah.
Worst man on Sex and the City.
All right, so that all happens, and then we go to... Carrie's former apartment, now Lisette's apartment.
Oh, wait, but before we go there, Naya also
has
an encounter with Andre DeShields, who works at Columbia.
We love that.
Yeah. We very much love that.
We love to see Andre DeShields.
Getting his steps in.
Oh, 100%.
That felt so shoehorned in, where he's like, by the way, the prestigious law like organization that we've never mentioned before.
I was so sure that they were going to be like, and now, Naya, you have to move to L.A. To do this.
Right,
and
like, we're so sorry, Karen Pittman, we have wasted you.
And we're going to write you off the show. That's what I felt that it was.
She's moving to UBA to host the morning show.
I think it was telling that I forgot to mention her before we moved on. But yes, you're right. And Naya, you know, she got more things to do later in the episode with
Toussaint.
I did appreciate later Naya being like, I don't really know any of these people. And it's like, yes, she doesn't.
I guess Carrie is just being kind to invite Miranda's roommate, but why would she have invited?
Right, she's just Miranda's roommate now.
Like, why wouldn't she have Bitsy Von Muffling, like somebody that she's actually friends with?
Yeah, not really.
Bring in Rachel Dratch or, like, her publisher or what. Like, there's lots of other people we've seen her interact with that she actually seems to have friendly relationships with.
Carrie, her guest list was sort of wild, you know, with the Che and the Steve and now Naya.
Yeah, she's and
sort
her,
of
like, was, ex-podcast partner. Like, who, that hey, guy, what's it, Jackie?
Jackie.
Like,
and
they're still friends?
And Smoke, who ruined her Met Gala dress.
Right, like, why would you let that woman back in your apartment?
Yeah, she's playing fast and loose with the guest list, which is very Carrie.
I mean, you know, the older you get, it's harder to kind of maintain a really tight circle of friends.
You know, was that the thing about Jesus? Like, how did he get to 33 still knowing 12 people?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Still watching from Vanity Fair. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Run Through with Vogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that. We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOK.
Can you tell us what AWOK means?
It means AWOK, Anna Winter OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOK.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So yeah, there was dinner at Carrie's house. That was the bulk of the episode, as we kind of had predicted. Not a bottle episode, but...
Do you hear that, Catherine? Not a bottle.
Yeah,
we know what a bottle episode is.
I thought that, I think I was texting with a friend of the podcast, Bobby Finger, this morning, as we were both watching the episode in the wee hours of the morning. And he was like, I feel like Che has gone from someone I was kind of about to, like, an actually, like, evil character. Oh. And I don't know if I am quite there, because I did like their kind of reconciliation of sorts with Miranda. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like no one gave up too much of themselves. Mm-hmm.
The fact that they said, I thought those jokes were funny. Like,
unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. And then proceeded to tell very unfunny jokes with Jackie, like...
Yeah, at the table.
Half a scene later, and it was just like, okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what the future holds. Now that we can talk about the future, I don't know what the future holds for Che. I think they should maybe put the character to bed.
They sort of lift right out. Like, Naya certainly does, especially if Miranda's not going to be living with her anymore. Like, you know, it makes sense to have Lisa on the show. It makes sense to have Seema on the show. Those two, I don't know. I feel like they Naya has been done dirty. Che has gotten plenty of opportunities.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they feel entirely necessary as the show.
Yeah, they don't feel crucial to the show anymore. Yeah.
I mean, even Anthony, I feel like you don't really need at this point.
You never really needed
him. If I never have to hear the phrase ass wall again, I would be happy. So, like, let's get rid of
ass virginity.
I mean, Giuseppe can stay.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Stay in this country. Yeah, Che, I will say, I think we did call that they sort of became the villain of this season. And they did in that journey become more of a full-fledged, fleshed-out character, which was kind of nice. And I think most of the dramatic tension of the season had to deal with Che and Miranda. So I appreciate...
Much like last year. But maybe it's a two-year arc.
I think it's a two-year arc. I appreciate their service. I'm glad they came. But I think they can ride off into the sunset with Toby, and we can get Miranda... new love interest, like Joy.
That lovely British Joy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of journey and service and all that, like, I thought the train sort of metaphor, whatever you want to call it, simile, I don't know.
The train wreck, yeah.
Yeah, of like, but Miranda's like, but it was that train that got me somewhere new and got us both somewhere new, and like, it was the only train we could have taken there. I thought that was a really, like, fair assessment of someone who was like, thank you for helping me come out, essentially. Mm-hmm. I realized that I was in that process, but not a good partner to you, but also maybe you weren't to me. But like, hey, we got somewhere new together. Maybe we're not exactly where we thought we'd be. But like, I think Miranda basically is saying, I took the Che Express to Gay Town, and now that I'm here, we don't have to be friends.
Yeah. Even Che's response to that was like kind of rude. Like, they didn't really accept it. They were like, that train sucked. It was like,
Che's not a nice person.
Not a nice person.
a mean comedian? What?
Never have I ever.
I don't get it. No offense, Chris. Sorry. Yeah.
No, none taken.
You know well what I'm talking about. So we mentioned Anthony and Giuseppe. I don't really even know what to make. I think that, like, Anthony being however old he is and this being a new thing for him, I don't really buy. Maybe because he's from an older generation, whatever. I also don't necessarily buy it as a metaphorical engine. If you have to introduce the term ass wall in order to make a metaphor about other walls being broken down, like, no, thank you.
It does seem sort of weird for a show that, you know, a lot of gay men watch and is like the primary creative engine of it is a gay man to like make anal sex like the butt, haha, of so many jokes seems like a strange choice. I don't know that like there's something inherently funny about like the way that gay men have sex.
I will say that was a funny joke, funnier than anything Che said, Hillary. I did giggle at the nightstand, the pan to the nightstand when they were having
all the accoutrement,
all the accoutrement and the lube. And I get what the show is trying to do, and you know, I love Giuseppe as much as the next person.
I mean, certainly the original series was a lot. I don't know, was it like felt a lot more squeamish about non-heterosexual sex.
Oh, 100%. It didn't really remember when Carrie kissed a bi guy, and it was. You know,
and remember when she kissed Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, I was sort of crazy.
You never saw Stanford have sex. His storylines were always like
Anthony
just
talked about it a lot, but we never really saw
it. Right, exactly. So this feels like a step forward, I guess, in that way.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that while also raising my eyebrows a lot and being like, "What? What is going on?" And then Giuseppe,
are you telling me that this isn't how men speak to each other?
No, actually, red, white, and royal blue is how men speak to each other. That's how gay
basically
men,
a documentary. That is 100% that one.
That's
actually,
way
you know
more
what?
Real.
Let's just switch gears and talk about that movie for the rest of the episode. No, we won't. I think that however they wanted to get there, sure, Anthony and Giuseppe are happy together. I'm not terribly invested in that relationship. Giuseppe's nice to look at, nice to listen to. The whole thing of like, I'm a move to Roma. And then two seconds later, the thing I want to forget or let go of is Rome. And it was like, wait a second. You don't have to let go of your home city.
It was the same day.
It was literally an hour later. I don't know if I quite got there. I also feel like, I don't know, maybe you guys feel differently. I'm not invested in Seema and Ravi at all. That felt very rushed at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he was introduced maybe midway, but like the relationship stuff didn't really amp up until last week, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden,
it felt rushed.
You know, and so I was glad that at the end of the episode, it was like, Carrie's got 5 years, she's got 5 months, like, let's let them be single. And it's like, yeah, because that's kind of where I want them both to be. I want them going on funny dates because this is still a television show. It's boring to watch Seema like date some suave film director who's like pops in and out.
Yeah. Know? And didn't we already do the I said I love you too soon plotline on Sex and the City? I feel like,
oh, I mean, yeah, that was definitely a Samantha
trope. We've done this before, so it was diminishing returns for me, that whole
entire
thing.
Maybe the least realistic part of this show is the director of a Marvel movie who just keeps going on location.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he would be going to Atlanta. He would be on a private plane to Atlanta.
He would be in an airplane hangar filled with green screens.
Maybe London, but like, come on. Yeah, no one's
filming. He's not going to Egypt for 5 months.
No, come on. They're not filming. I mean, I guess Chloe Zhao got some location shots for her movie. But
to what end?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's, I have a question for you guys. How many seconds after a dinner party host said to you, we're going to go around the table and say one word of things we're going to let go of, would you leave the party? I would be, the minute she said, we're going to do, I would be out the door.
You don't like audience participation.
No, you're not a rose. No. You're not a rosebud thorn type of guy.
Like, have you ever been at a Thanksgiving where?
My uncle every year is like, we're gonna do what we're thankful for, and everybody is just like that. We're all together. It's like, what else do you want me to say?
Right.
Like,
and then one jokester is like, this turkey or whatever. You know, like, I mean, I appreciated that Jackie did make a joke because that would have been my only response. I would have been like something really stupid, like the next 5 pounds. Like, I don't know. Like,
and it was funny and so true when Carrie was like, I'm going to say one word and then give a full speech about what her word meant. And Che did come in with a zinger and called her out on
it. The more we can get back to Carrie, Carrie has climbed out of grief. Now she can go back to being the narcissist that we know and love. A charming narcissist.
Yeah.
Yeah, her saying to the cat about the, like, it's a no feedback conversation. It was like, yes, that's Carrie. That's Carrie's dream.
I am shocked that the cat is named Shoe after, like, what you wear on your feet and not, like, a French shoe. That's
like
that's
a pastry.
That's what I expected.
Yeah, always very hard.
C-H-O-U-X. Yeah.
But she loves shoes. It's in what you wear on your feet.
Right,
sort
right.
Of a tie.
I mean, a cat
named,
like, foot, like, shoe, like, S-H-O-E is pretty cute.
It's cute.
That's funny. A little on the nose, maybe, but. But I thought
like
that
Manolo or something might have been. But maybe that's, I don't know.
Manny.
She can't name it SJP line, right?
Right. Louboutin has too many syllables. But I thought that even if that cringy thing was cringy, I did appreciate that it gave every actor in this A team ensemble and then the B and C team ensembles a little moment, camera on them, wistfully say a word and people react and they react. Like, it was a nice, like, even like Lisette, it was like, oh, cool. Like, she's part of this world. Like, I appreciated that it gave everyone a little bit of their due in what, again, could have been the series finale, but wasn't.
And gives a little button also to the Lisa and Herbert story, which we haven't really talked about. And which, I don't know, I still think was kind of a missed opportunity.
Oh, totally.
But, you know, if she was going to have a convenient miscarriage, you know, it's not like she had it and then immediately forgot about it. There's some emotional unpacking of it. We'll see their story also kind of feels like we need some kind of new engine next season, because if her and Charlotte both are just like, can a woman have it all? I don't know. It feels tired.
We've covered that ground.
Yes. We have covered it a lot. And like the answer is yes, because they're both very rich.
Yeah. And that's
and
all
they
it takes.
Have childcare.
I will say I was sort of annoyed that Lisa Todd Wexley said guilt right after Miranda said guilt. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was probably more applicable to LTW's storyline than to Miranda's storyline. But it would have been, I don't know, it would have been nice to hear a different word or something that was a little bit less shameful surrounding, you know, potentially wanting an abortion, which is another word that we still have never, we never said it the whole season.
Also true, yeah. So, a strange choice.
Strange choice.
Sort of two steps forward.
Yeah, I don't really know where it moved Lisa. You know, like, if there was character development happening in most of the other people, like, it was a quick little storyline that then sort of, I'm glad that he at least brought it up in this episode, right. And yeah. She was still affected by it. And it's not as if, like, miscarriages aren't a pertinent topic for viewers of the show or, like, you know, women in general. Like,
no, they're also under-discussed. It's true.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, it was, I think, you know, kind of like the SEMA stuff, it was just handled so hastily. Like, maybe there should have been threaded through this whole season, Lisa being like, well, before, you know, it's the shop closes, like, do we want to have one more? Like, although we should we? And, you know, like, maybe more of a debate that it was really building to this kind of sadness and disappointment, but also conflict, you know. Mm-hmm. A surprise pregnancy obviously brings different elements into the mix. I don't know. I don't know how to handle it the best way, but I think they could have just made it a little fuller.
Yeah, and did Herbert ever say a word? Did they ever go back to him? I don't think he got out of it.
No, he didn't have to say his word. He said,
good point.
He said, come back to me. That's true.
Yeah. And they never did.
Never did.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a politician. He doesn't want to show his hand.
That's true.
His election didn't happen yet. It's still spring.
No,
I think that's maybe next season he's
all that comptroller, you know, election.
Maybe do you think they're gonna jump 5 years to Aiden, like when he's back and Wyatt's long in the grave?
Yeah,
we got a touchdown.
I wanna talk about that for a while.
Yeah.
Carrie, that feels sort of like they wrote a check and now they're going to have to cash it in season 3. Like, what is she doing for this next 5 years? Is she supposed to just be kind of like looking, like standing on her widow's walk, like waiting for him to return
Aiden
from the war?
Jail.
She's at the lighthouse staring out to sea, waiting for the ships to come on the horizon. Yeah.
Like some say on nights like this, you can still see Carrie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it's one of those like, bitch, are you crazy? like, because he wasn't being sensitive about it. And she's like, so are you just whatever? And he's like, no, I'm never going to lose you again. I'm just going to go away for 5 years and we can't speak because Wyatt needs me. Like, what?
It was so...
It's treated as though this is like a reasonable thing to propose.
And I think you're right.
Wild.
They painted themselves into a corner where they don't want to vilify Aiden. They don't want Carrie to have a full heartbreak, but they probably are like, we're not going to just do Carrie and Aiden if we get a next season,
like,
we're not going to do that.
No, like they're writing each other letters? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah. Like it just, I think they really got themselves stuck because they decided to go further with the Aiden thing. You know, I think we listened back to early episodes of this podcast, like, about, you know, I don't think any of us knew that the Aiden thing was going to be carried this far.
Yeah.
And so once they passed a certain Rubicon, it was like we've never really vilified Aiden. We don't want to start doing that now. So how do we do this? Let's pretend that this is a totally normal thing to have happened.
Yeah, it was. We did call it last episode that
it would be like, it's not our time.
It's not our time. But for them to be so specific about the 5 years and then like the snap of it all, that's 5 years is quite a long time. That's a presidential term.
But yeah,
plus one.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like you're in your 50s. I feel like, relationships don't, you know, it's kind of an all or nothing sort of deal, I think, because you've got your lives.
Yeah.
And so either they're together or they're not. I don't know. I mean, I guess if Carrie is comfortable being in a weird limbo, we'll kind of see what that actually means when the show returns. But
and she gave up her goddamn apartment.
Yeah.
Well, she gave it up for a townhouse on Gramercy Park.
But that's not Carrie. Come on. You know, I don't know. I just feel like they set up. I don't know. My tinfoil hat thing is like they thought this was going to be the end of the show. And they were like, we'll just leave it in a sort of limbo that like someday in the distant, unseen future, she and Aiden will be together. They're saving themselves for each other. But in the meantime, she's going to have Cosmos on a Greek isle with Seema. And now it's like, oh, no, now we have to do like what happens to Carrie that fall. And it's like maybe there's a calendar and she's like marking off the days.
I mean, I would like to see like the like 50 Shades of Grey contract scene with like her and Aiden working out the terms of their 5-year agreement, which is like, can she like go on dates? Is he going to like?
Yeah. And she didn't seem that broken up about it, at least in Greece. I think the show, it's funny that they think and I say this with all due respect to our puzzle Wyatt, that we care more about Wyatt than Carrie. So it's like, we as viewers, Wyatt could have, you know, he was doing mushrooms and driving trucks into trees and whatnot. And that obviously is a legitimate
Aiden
reason.
Being like, where do you even get mushrooms? The internet, Aiden. Like,
he's 14, he's a teenager.
Yeah, magic 2023. Mushrooms. Like, that was... I thought Carrie would make a little joke about magic mushrooms being a sort of dated phrase.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think 14 is young to be doing those things. Obviously, crashing a car, no, that's not good. But like, I must go to five-year Wyatt Monk jail to like watch, to tend to him.
Stanford.
Like, because Kathy apparently is totally useless.
I hated the vilification of Kathy.
Yeah.
It did feel, well, I don't know. Aiden was not so kind to Carrie for a long time, too. Maybe he's got some latent issues that we still haven't really unpacked.
Hillary's Aiden hater has jumped out again.
I mean, he's a grudge holder, certainly.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I think that they probably didn't have many better options in terms of how
to... But if this was going to be the... I guess they wanted to leave it open-ended in case they got another season, and that's why they didn't just have them end up together.
Right.
That's the answer.
They didn't
there.
Want it depressing, but they didn't want it conclusive. They wanted something in between, which I guess...
is where we landed.
Yeah.
I just feel like I don't... I mean, maybe if you're like... I don't even actually know at what age that would be an acceptable.
I wouldn't do it at 30. I wouldn't do it, like, wait 5 years
no,
for me.
No, that's a long ass time.
It's a long time.
I can't believe even, like, Carrie having, like, achieved the level of self-actualization that I think she has. I can't believe that she was like, I understand what you're saying, but no, I'm not going to agree to this. Like,
right.
And like, that would have been a stronger ending for her.
Well,
and then she goes off to the beach and has a Cosmo.
And the whole thing she was trying to let go of was expectations. And that was supposed to be a nice little button. And it's like, but wait a second. Like, expectations also can be, like, healthy and, like, self-preserving.
Yeah.
And like
I would expect that my partner would be, like, willing to work with me.
Right. I gave up my beloved home for this man.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, because his teen kid is, like, doing what teenagers do. I don't know. It just feels...
And the fact that he refused to even consider her helping him in this journey
or coming to Virginia. She doesn't have a job. She can do whatever she wants.
She's rich as sin. Like,
I can't be thinking about you. Are you saying you're not even going to think about me? No, of course I am. Well, what are you saying then? I don't get it. Like,
look, if this is what it takes for the rest of the world to see what I've always known, that he
seriously.
Is trash.
He's gone from goober to garbage.
No, that's so true. Also, throwing in the 20 and 17-year-old is another reason. It's like, that 20-year-old is an adult.
No,
you don't need to be at home.
He does not need you to be at his childhood house all the time.
Yes, he's probably at the next beach over in the Greek islands spending that West Elm money.
Yeah. I can really see him being like, Homer, I'm coming home for you. And him being like, okay.
Like, I live in an apartment.
That's so weird.
I'm fine.
I have a job,
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see what they do season 3. I can't believe I've even saying that. I think that overall, let's maybe do a wrap up on the whole season, because we were saying before we recorded that we were worried when we decided to do this season for this podcast that, like, what if we're just hate watching something for 11 episodes? That would be fun for maybe two.
And then
kind of frustrating. But I think there were, for me, enough highs and actually genuine returns to something like the quality of old that I think I leave this season a fan of the show.
As someone who defended the first season, I do think this was a step up. This is what I say to people. I can't say that the show is always good or even necessarily good, but I looked forward to every episode and I always had fun when I was watching it. And I do think there were some real season highlights. I think Seema and Carrie's confrontation outside the hair salon, that was great. Some of Miranda's stuff was really fantastic. I think we got enough moments. Maybe not to justify a season 3, which gives me pause, but to make this a worthwhile endeavor.
I mean, yeah, like, you give me another episode about Charlotte and Terry trying to set up an iPhone, I'm there, whatever.
Yeah, it's like Radhika said.
What else am I doing?
Like, I would watch them do whatever. Like, if next season is literally just, like, Carrie sitting in an empty mansion, like, reading Cosmo, fine.
Yeah,
let's do it.
I'm not going to complain.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I think that's a good note to end this season on, because there was always the risk that it was going to really outstay its welcome. Some would argue that the whole show's existence is outstaying a welcome after the second movie. But I think they figured it out.
I think that, you know, if they prune the tree a little bit, if they get rid of a few characters, if they can
You mispronounced
just...
Che. It's prune the Che.
Che-rictors.
Yeah.
If they can maybe just, you know, concentrate, make the writing a little snappier across the board, like
get our main girlies together a little bit more.
Yes. Give us some more ensemble scenes because that is where the show is at its best. Mm-hmm. Maybe have some more, like you've been saying, Richard, some more thematic, like actual running topics throughout an episode. Make it a little more episodic. I think that would make it stronger. I don't think you're ever going to get Sex and the City again. And the show, you know, it has a different name. It has a different vibe. But I do think that you can take some of those things from the original show and try a little harder to, you know, transport them into And Just Like That. And I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to another season.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way. That's a weird new tension we haven't seen before. I can go on dates, but in 4 years and 322 days, someone's coming back from Virginia and you're out of here.
Does she put that on her like Hinge profile? Like,
can date for the next 5 years.
But then Amber froze and promised to a man in Virginia.
When the clock strikes midnight on my 60th birthday. Well, we'll have to wait and see until season 3.
I mean, I hope that you guys are here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I'll be seated.
See you in 5 years.
Still Watching will be back in just a moment, and when we return, we will talk about our favorite looks of the season.
And if you are watching this video, either I'm dead or I'm in a very, very, very bad situation.
She said, oh my God, I can hear gunshots. I can hear men outside.
Where are they? What have they done to them? Are they dead? Are they not dead?
There is one suspect, her father, the Sheikh.
It's Madeline Barron from In the Dark. We've teamed up with our new colleague, Heidi Blake at The New Yorker, to try to answer a question about one of the richest men in the world, the ruler of Dubai.
Why do the women in Sheikh Mohammed's family keep trying to run away?
There's 5 policemen outside and 2 policewomen inside the house. So basically, I'm a hostage.
And he reminded me that Sheikh Mohammed can get me anywhere.
Because you're a rich and powerful person, you can effectively break any law you want in our country and get away with it.
The Runaway Princesses is available now. Follow In the Dark wherever you get your podcasts.
And finally, this is the last time that we're going to get to talk about the fashion on season 2 of And Just Like That. So who had either a killer look or a fashion roadkill? I'll actually start, and it's kind of obvious. I did love Carrie's nice dress and sort of like shawl, like with the sleeves at the big dinner.
I did think that the checkerboard dress was great. I loved the big skirt, but I thought that sheer like
mismatch
arm warmer thing was dreadful.
I thought it was just a little, you know, a little fashion forward, a little Carrie matching a weird print with a classic dress. It felt vintage Carrie to me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I liked when Miranda and Naya walked in and Miranda was wearing a sort of like high collar floor length gold ensemble. I was like, oh, that's an interesting dress to wear. And then, no, it was a coat and she took it off and there was a nice red dress under it.
With the orange trim. I love the little orange cape at the very end.
Yeah, I thought she looked good.
I would get a coffee table book that was just like coats of And Just Like That.
Totally.
They're so good at coats.
The coats are really fantastic.
I mean, we could talk about the season as a whole fashion-wise.
Yeah.
Like, there was a great quote from last week that Miranda had, right? The kind of the striped one, the thick sort of pastel stripes that outside the UN.
Yeah,
that was a great coat.
I mean, the coat of the season is
Carrie in the snow.
It's Carrie in the snow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
In the duvet.
Yeah. I can't wait to wear mine this winter. Yeah. That was pretty good. I think my favorite look of the whole season was the sort of emerald green-ish outfit she wore to meet the evil Kathy.
Mm.
It was kind of just a one scene outfit. It wasn't like a big showpiece thing, but I thought it was like the right mix of Carrie's kind of wackiness with some more elegant, you know, glam.
Yeah, that's a good call. And for the fashion roadkill side, I mean, I guess Aiden's coat will for the next 5 years will live on. him as like Hunger Games commissioner.
Yes, really. Yeah, really not great. My favorite fashion person of this season, I'm going to give it to the evolution of Miranda Hobbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her going from, you know, L.A., not really finding herself, the bucket hats.
The
beach outfit was bad. The galoshes. To chic, BBC ready, back on her, you know, lawyer, Steez. I like that. I like that for Miranda.
Yeah, I think that they used fashion really well as a storytelling tool for Miranda, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not always what the show has done. I think, you know, with Carrie, it's like the fun of it is like, what wacky thing is she going to be wearing next? But like with Miranda, they actually did do an evolution back to something what she used to be, but also with a new sort of glam edge, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I did appreciate.
Oh, and speaking of fashion, also, I can't believe we didn't realize last week that the bomber jacket Che wore during their comedy set is Kendall Roy's bomber jacket.
It's Kendall Roy's bomber jacket.
Oh.
It's the same exact one.
Like the actual garment?
Like the
yeah.
actual garment with the dragon.
That's so
on
funny.
The red.
Is that deliberate?
I would love to talk about how Succession and Just Like That's universe is.
Oh.
I mean, are they in the same universe?
They have to be.
Because if they are, then, like, Carrie has absolutely encountered the Roy family.
Seema has definitely dated Logan.
Yeah.
yeah.
And Carrie should be hitting up Kendall.
Big voted for Justin Kirk.
right.
Would have if he had lived right. to see lived the election. The
Samantha had sex with Roman, and it's the one encounter where she was like, this is too much.
I can't.
She tried to, and then he was like, ugh. And then he like left the room because he was too scared.
Yeah.
God, let's get Shiv into season 3.
And Miranda and Jerry have been friends for years. They've like they went to law school together.
Oh,
maybe rivals. I can see them being rivals.
Yeah, maybe Shiv like was trying to do like some consulting work for Human Rights Watch or something, and Miranda like sees that Shiv is useless and doesn't know anything.
Uh-huh. Right. And redhead versus redhead too.
There you go.
There can only be one.
I love writing fan fiction
We're
about our friends.
Throwing out season 3 ideas here, guys. All those actors need work. The Succession people. So
that's true. You could easily slot any of them. It would be lovely to see like J. Smith Cameron have some fun on And Just Like That.
Oh, so good. Like a Bitsy Von Muffling.
Lisette starts being friends with Willow.
Oh my God, they write plays together.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, that does it for this episode of Still Watching. We will be back next week.
Yes,
don't
we
worry.
Will.
In the meantime, you can send us any final thoughts on the season of And Just Like That to stillwatchingpod@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Rylaws. I am also on another app that has been renamed that I won't mention now, but that's where I am with the same name.
And I am also on that app, X, and on Instagram at Chris Triss, ChristresS.
You can find me at Hillabuster with 2 R's. This has been Still Watching from Vanity Fair. Our producer is Emily Elias, and we had production help from Peyton Hayes. We had technical assistance from Gabe Quiroga. The show is mixed by Amar Lal. Stephen Valentino is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Alexis Quadrado.
We'll be back next Thursday for a special bonus episode. Looking forward to seeing you then.
Stop checking out my ass. It's not on the menu tonight.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
From PRX.